The following podcast is brought to you by BetDSI.com. The NFL and college seasons are heating up, so what are you doing on the sidelines? Get in the game with BetDSI. They've been paying winners for 20 years now, and with a reputation for great service and fast payouts, it's easy to know why BetDSI is the place to play, win, and get paid. Anytime, anywhere. BetDSI has every wager you could ever imagine, whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, UFC, esports, global sports. I mean, if it's happening, BetDSI is putting a line on it. You can even bet on politics and celebrities. Plus, you can bet live with BetDSI's live betting option. So stop hanging out on the sidelines and get started with BetDSI. You'll get some extra bang for your buck right now, too. BetDSI is offering you podcast listeners an extra 25% bonus, but only when you use the promo code WIN125. Don't leave your money on the table. Use promo code WIN125 and get the special podcast listener 125% bonus. Just visit BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code WIN125. Don't stand on the sidelines. To win it, you have to be in it. Visit BetDSI.com right now. That's BetDSI.com. Promo code WIN125.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
From the Gau Studios in Houston, you're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two. 713-780. ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter. At Fred Fowler. At A.J. is the real. At producer T. Scott. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. Missed the first hour. A lot of football talk. But what'd you expect? There was a lot of football this weekend.
And we're almost out of it.
Yeah, I know. We're down to three meaningful games. It's going to be a very sad day next Monday. That's usually the day it really hits me. Although it kind of already did, because once college football is over and you're just down to these few games, it was fun this weekend because you could just sit there and spend 6-7 hours a day watching football.
Yeah.
But that's almost over. We're going to have real lives again. I don't know if
stupid
I like that.
Real life.
Yeah. Actually, this is...
That means like when your wife says, hey, I want to do this thing on the weekend. You can't be like, I can't do that. I've got to watch football all weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to suck.
I was so... Oh. I woke up on Saturday. I'm so excited. I'm thinking the games are going to start at noon. And my wife is like, we're going to watch the Spider-Man cartoon movie. I'm like, I can't go. We got these games about to kick off. Turns out the game didn't start till 3:40.
Mm.
So I went and watched the Spider-Man cartoon movie.
I've heard good things about that.
It was fine. I mean, there's parts of it that were good. There's parts of it that were freaking stupid. there's a bunch of different Spider-Men. One of them's a little anime girl who's got a Spider-Man robot. Another one is Peter Porker, who's basically like a pig character in a Spider-Man suit.
This sounds horrible.
Yeah, they
this
did
sounds
some,
horrible.
The rest of it was cool, but they threw in those two dumb characters that just made it weird.
Peter Porker, really?
Yeah.
Oh, well. Some breaking news from Adam Schefter.
Okay.
The Vikings are going to hire Gary Kubiak in an offensive advisory role. His son will become Vikings quarterback coach, and Kevin Stefanski will remain as Vikings OC.
Okay.
Also, the Broncos have officially agreed to terms with Mike Munchak as their offensive line coach. That could be a very underrated hire.
That is a nice hire, especially at that position.
Yeah. Don't know what they're going to do on offense now that Kubiak left them, but that was very strange. But there's some breaking news for you. And I kind of got the sense that Nick Foles, they were all kind of saying goodbye to each other. And I'm pretty sure if you're the Eagles, you don't try to mess around and make him do the buyout and stuff and franchise him so you can trade him. You let the guy go do his thing. And he's done right by you. I think it's time to do right by him.
Yeah, I'm with you. Let this guy walk away. I mean... I don't think you want to I can't imagine you want to tie up that much money, you know, with a franchise thing and then, you know, try and unload him and hurt yourself in the cap. It's just, there's just a bunch of crap that goes along with it that you don't want to deal with. I let the guy walk away. Let him go make some money and be happy for him. I mean, you had a good run with him. You've got what you think is your franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
Don't be bitter about it. Just.
Yeah, and I just say thank you for what you did.
Yeah.
Just.
It's what the Patriots did with Garoppolo.
Yeah, well, they traded him.
I know. Well, that's, well, they, but either way, they let him go when everybody thought maybe they were going to franchise him. I was like, God, what a, it just seems like a, and I don't like the franchise tag to begin with. We've talked about this before. I feel like, and I get it's collectively bargained, so it doesn't matter, but it's like you're holding a player hostage. Like when a guy works out his contract, let that guy go. Let him go do what he wants and he, or either trade him before his contract's up or just let him walk in free agency. If you've got to get something for him, trade him before his contract's up. But this franchise tag is, it's just weird to me. It's such a weird sports thing.
Yeah, it doesn't bother me at all.
I don't like it.
I mean, it's part of the deal to want to keep your players, and yeah, you know, and it's not like you're screwing them. They get guaranteed money that's the top of the league for a year. I mean, that's the thing that these guys that get so mad, oh, you franchise tag me. Dude, you're getting paid like one of the top five at your position, guaranteed money for 1 year.
Right.
So,
but in a league where long-term money is always the key, it takes away the opportunity to go get it.
No, not. And I mean, for 1 year.
For 1 year. So let's say he makes that 1 year, he gets hurt. Then what?
Well, that's the risk.
That's the risk. I get it, but I don't understand how you say, okay, I'm signing for a five-year contract, and then you sign that, and then at the end of it, they're like, we've decided that five-year contract you've signed is going to be six, maybe seven. I just don't like it.
But the player knows that when they sign it, so sign a three-year deal.
Yeah.
I mean, that's your option. That's what you have an agent for. Doesn't bother me at all. But I think in this case, they'll probably just let him walk and do the right thing because he did a lot for that franchise. And, you know, obviously you've got to, you don't want to keep them both. You might ask him not to go to the Redskins or Giants. I don't think the Giants would want him because, you know, at his age, when you replace Eli, you probably are going younger. You're going to get a guy you can sit there for a year.
Yeah.
I imagine they'd go draft. But wouldn't shock me if the Redskins gave him a big deal because you don't know if Alex Smith is coming back.
Nope.
So I still think Jacksonville would be a good fit.
I think Jacksonville would be a good fit too. But I think there's a lot of these, like, Denver wouldn't be a bad fit, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think that would be a good one for him, too.
There's options for him.
Did you see the video compilation of Philip Rivers going off on the referees yesterday?
No.
It's pretty hilarious. Apparently, he was just complaining about every single play. I don't know what got into him, but he was. It's pretty funny. There's a video out there where he, you know, they basically just put it all into one thing, and it looks like he's insane.
sounds about like Philip.
Yeah. So, man, can I bitch about one thing real quick that has nothing to do with sports?
I'll allow it.
Can we stop this damn government shutdown thing? My goodness,
what are you trying to do to me?
No, I'm just saying.
You try to make everybody hate me?
No, I for one thing, you got people having to work and not getting paid, which I'm not a fan of, over something that has nothing to do with them.
Yeah.
And now, did you see they had to shut down TSA and Terminal B at Bush Airport? It's going to start affecting us now.
Yeah, I don't want that.
And affecting people's travel. I mean, yeah, I'm not a fan of this stuff. And no other country in the world allows you to do that.
So what's your recommendation? Build the wall?
I don't care about the damn wall. That's one way or the other. If that's a campaign promise, that's great. But let's find something else to fight over. And not use this. That's all. So, Caleb asks, how often do guys that are franchised end up staying with their team? Seems like a team decides to franchise someone. It's a good sign that player is gone in 1 to 2 years, depending on if they get franchised again.
Typically.
Yeah, well, because you can only do it twice. But if you look at it, now all this stuff about, oh, how bad it is for the player, look how Kirk Cousins played that thing.
Yeah.
I mean, he made a fortune off the franchise tag. And then it got to the point where they couldn't afford it. There was no way. So he was able to walk as a free agent and got another monster deal. I mean, you can play it right if you know what you're doing. And obviously he and his agent did. That's kind of the gold standard.
But he didn't end up with his team.
Well, you got to choose where he went.
Right, but I'm saying, like, what the tweeter is asking is how often, once you franchise a guy, at the end of your franchising period, they tend to go somewhere else.
Well, yeah.
It's basically you saying, well.
Yeah, but that's not what I was saying.
We like you now, but we're not going to keep you around.
I was agreeing with his point and using Kirk Cousins as an example of somebody who did that.
Okay.
But, and also a guy who played the cap perfectly, which, you know, and I think that's what you need to be doing. And it's going to be an issue here because the Texans have to decide what to do with Jadeveon Clowney. And I don't know what I would do with him, to be honest, because I don't think he's worth the kind of money you're going to have to pay him. I think you can afford it, but you know, that's a tough place to be. And you know, I was saying all along, I would have traded the guy before and gotten as much
before this season ended.
I would have traded him before this season, frankly.
But it's tough. It's tough to say that now because he had such a great year.
Yeah, but I was saying it 3 months ago.
I know. But I mean, he helped you get to the playoffs. I don't know. I mean, do you think that if it's a guarantee that if you don't have Jadeveon Clowney that you make the playoffs?
I still think you make the playoffs.
Okay.
I
just know, I mean, you won a couple coin flip games. It's
yeah, but you know, it's not like the guy, I mean, he has an impact, but it's not like it shows up in the stats the way even it does with J.J. Watt. And, you know, he was the best player on the defense and was healthy the year before, and they were 4-12. So, to me, if you could get something of value, I would have done it. Now, yeah. I think you can franchise him and trade him, but that's a harder deal.
Yeah.
Because at this point, you know, I don't know what you could get for him. I think teams would be fairly – I don't think he has the value he would have had even a year ago. I would have traded him after last year where he had the big season. All right, guys. How about Greyhound racing? If you're heading to Galveston right now or you're heading down south, maybe you're on your way to Clear Lake, just go a little bit farther. Just go on down to exit 15 off Gulf Freeway in Lamarck, and you can catch Greyhound racing simulcasting right now at Gulf Greyhound Park. And if you want to do that on a Wednesday, Thursday, or Saturday at 7 o'clock or on a Sunday at noon, you're going to get live Greyhound racing. And this is a short meet. It's a rare opportunity to see live Greyhound racing in person at Gulf Greyhound Park. And you obviously got the simulcasting that starts every day at 11 a.m. And you can bet 7 days a week on that, on Greyhounds, horses, you name it, they've got it. But if you want to get in on the live Greyhound racing, Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday at 7 p.m. and Sundays at noon. So make plans. You're going to head down south. Hit the track. If you're down in Galveston, it's real easy. You just turn left instead of right. It's located exit 15 off the Gulf Freeway in Lamarck. For more information, visit gulfgreyhound.com. Gulfgreyhound.com. Get in on your Greyhound racing now. Gulfgreyhound.com.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city. From the Gau Studios in Houston, you're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Was it True Detective they were playing this in last night? There was something I watched yesterday, and they were playing Paranoid.
I don't think they played this last
night. No, I don't remember that.
I can't remember what it
Dude,
was.
Dude, that show does such a good job of painting a picture of, like, trashy, poor South.
Yeah.
Like, it's so gritty.
That's why the second one sucked, is they took it to L.A.
Maybe so, because, that first one, that part, like, and I guess the Nick Pizzolatto guy is back on board for this one. May have something to do with it.
Well, and the director from season one.
That's him.
Cary Fukunawa or whatever.
Oh, okay.
That guy, both of those guys are back on for this season.
It's so much better already. And, I mean, like everyone, was disappointed in season two. I think had we not had such great expectations going into season two, it would have been disappointing instead of maddening how bad it was. So
if that had been the first one, would you have watched the second one?
I don't know.
Well, I would have because it was Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, I'd give it one more shot.
Yeah.
But this one so far, I mean, they don't have any big names in this one, do they?
I mean, the main character, he's coming up, and I think it's cool that Stephen Dorff is like...
Yeah, I guess he's in it.
He's trying to have what McConaughey had with season one.
But man, I love it. I love the way it looks visually. And
does
like,
that show like just not like? Do you want to just smoke cigarettes the whole time you're watching?
Oh yeah, it does make you feel that way. It does make you feel like you should be smoking right? And you should be drinking beer out of a can. Like it's
a flask with a brown paper.
Yeah, that
sack
would work
on
too.
It.
That would work too. Yeah, it just brings yeah, you
beer like, out of a can with the bag over it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, I grew up in a pretty small town, and, like, if you ever... My family was... I mean, we were pretty well off relative to a lot of people there, but, like, if you went over to a friend's house and they didn't have a ton of dough, like, that's what their house looked like. Like, every house on True Detective is... That's your buddy who's, you know... Dad worked at the grocery store and mom worked at the bank. Like, that's what people live in those little small southern towns. It's just crazy. I love it,
man. Yeah, I'm going to watch the second one tonight and get caught up.
But. I'm so pissed that they only... I mean, I just want the whole season now.
I thought it was awesome that they premiered with two episodes.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you would have only got one.
That's true. Maybe I'm bitching about something that I already got more than I should have.
First world problems here.
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. He says, would highly recommend his book, Galveston, would seem right up Fred's alley. I want to read that book. I didn't like the movie, though. I thought the movie was pretty poor. I felt duped because I thought, oh, man, I got to get into this. And it was not good. And I'm sure the book is better because, well, the movie's definitely not. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And, yeah, I expected to get a lot of hate because I said a government shutdown's a bad idea. I don't care whose side you're on. I think it's dumb
yeah.
that we shut down the government. That's
it's gonna
all.
Work.
Yeah, exactly. It's un-American. In America, you work, you get paid. That's how it's supposed to be.
And then I thought I liked it. I got, you know... Normally, I don't want to hear from any politicians at this point, but then that Dan Crenshaw guy, the one-eyed guy from Texas,
yeah,
he came out and he was like, I'm withholding my pay. I don't want to get paid until everybody's getting paid. And I was like, okay, that's pretty cool. And then today he tweets that this wouldn't happen if we had a Republican-run House. And then I was like, this shutdown's been going on 24 days. There was a Republican-run House 14 days ago. Like, you could have had it not happen, and then too. It has nothing to do with who's running the house. It has to do with you don't have enough votes. It's pretty simple. This is pretty simple policy creation. You need a certain amount of votes. You don't have it. Get over it. Find a new way to get it. We'll just say that's it. Until we do this thing my way, nothing's happening. That's just garbage, man. That's not what you're elected to do.
Yeah, I just think it's dumb, and it should never be in play. That's all.
Well,
I don't care who did. I didn't like it when it happened under the Obama administration. I don't like it now.
What I don't like is there's people who are saying, well, he's trying to get done what he promised in his campaign. I mean, listen, every politician makes campaign promises. When you're struggling to get your policy through, you can't just say, we're shutting everything down until you guys accept this. That's not how campaign promises work.
That's not like, how politics is supposed
no,
to work.
No. That's like, imagine I run for class president and I'm like, the cafeteria is going to only serve legit pizza and burgers and tacos.
Oh, I like that idea. I'm behind that.
That's a great idea, right?
Yeah, it's tremendous. It's the best idea.
And I think that's what every junior high class presidency was run on.
Yeah.
But then once you realize that there's powers that be that don't just allow you to say, hey, we're only having pizza, burgers, and tacos every single day, you can't just say like, okay, well, students, let's not show up at school. We're not going to go to school until...
Not going
to
pay the teachers, so...
Yeah, teachers, sorry, you don't get any money until we get our burgers and pizza and tacos. It's just... Now you've got me off on a tangent.
Sorry. Well,
did this on purpose.
Well, no, it just pissed me off that... That you're basically shutting down TSA now. And if that starts creating longer lines for travel and stuff like that, And it's already bad enough that people aren't getting their checks, but you start doing stuff like that that's disrupting not just the people who are working, but if people start traveling less because they have to wait in line at TSA, now you're disrupting the economy. I just think it's dumb. I just think it's the dumbest thing ever. And I don't care what the issue is. It just shouldn't happen. There's not an issue in the world that we should be doing it over, but that's just me. I got some transfer information for you, if you'd like.
From the transfer portal?
Yeah, the portal.
That's a new term to me.
That's another one. I'm like, what the hell? Portal? When I think of a portal, I think of going to another planet through a portal.
Yeah, like a dimensional portal.
Yeah.
That happens a lot
like Stargate.
In the Spider-Man movie.
Like Stargate, that's a portal.
Yeah.
And I don't think you're immediately being zapped to your new team in this. You're probably waiting in line at TSA to fly.
Right.
But one of the teams we talked about as a possibility for Jalen Hurts, he reportedly visited on Saturday, and that's Oklahoma.
Yeah, I heard that.
I think he's also visited Miami and Maryland so far.
So maybe he's not interested in those SEC teams that we talked about.
Yeah, I think, well, to me, Oklahoma would be ideal because Kyler Murray's gone.
Yeah.
And you look at what Lincoln Riley's done with the last two guys, and that's a team that can be very competitive. I think that makes the most sense.
Yeah.
Unless Lincoln Riley says, you're not really my kind of quarterback.
That's kind of what that's what I think. But I also think that Lincoln Riley probably says, you know what? This guy's, he's pretty good. It'd be nice to have him, even if, you know, just to make sure nobody else gets him.
Yeah.
And see what we can do with him.
And also former Notre Dame quarterback, Brandon Wimbush.
Mm-hmm.
UCF is now a potential landing spot for him.
Okay.
Which makes sense because Mackenzie Milton, I'd be stunned if he plays again, much less next year. So somebody, as True Detective on Netflix?
No, it's on HBO.
I think you might be able to get it on like Amazon Prime through an HBO.
Through HBO Go or whatever.
Yeah, whatever, your membership.
Texter asked, Fred, I started dating a Canadian hottie of my own. What's the most Canadian thing I can say to impress her?
Call her a hoser.
Oh, no.
Say sorry.
Tell her you want a hoser.
No. I think that goes without saying, right? It depends on what part of Canada she's from. So
speak French to her.
If she's from Quebec, absolutely. Say something in French. They love that.
Paint her like you do your French girls.
But you know what I would do if I were truly trying to impress her? I'd find a really good poutine place and take her out for poutine.
Okay.
That's a Canadian thing, believe me.
I love it. I don't like Canada, but I love poutine.
Maple Leaf Pub has good poutine. Carbox Restaurant has good poutine. Yeah.
There's a franchise. It's called Tubbs. I follow them on Instagram because all their food pics are awesome, but it's all poutine.
Oh.
Interesting.
It's in West Chase, Energy Corridor.
Right. It depends on. I've heard a lot of good stuff about that place, but unless I'm out there for some reason, it ain't happening. But That's what I would do. If that doesn't work, and I gave you bad advice, sorry. Probably gave you bad advice if you were betting this weekend, too. It was not a great weekend from that regard, but still played on my bookie. And I actually got in on not just the NFL, but I had a couple of NHL plays this weekend. I had some horse plays that did okay. That's what I love about my bookie. They've got everything. And anything I want to bet on is there. They've got in-game. They've got all the prop bets on the playoffs, too, which are great, even though I was wrong about the over team total on the Saints. It was there for me to bet on my bookie. And they're safe. They're reliable. They've been in business for years. And the best part is you win, they pay. And there's so many of these websites that are just really shady. That's not my bookie. That in-game live betting is great. And if you miss the start of a game, which I do sometimes, you can get in there and still bet. And a lot of people are doing that now. It's a new trend. And it's a good opportunity for you to make some money. All you have to do is Google MyBookie to get your account started. They'll deposit 50%. They'll match 50% of your first deposit. So use promo code RADIO to activate the offer. Just Google MyBookie today. That's MYBOOKIE. And don't forget to use promo code RADIO when you create your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid. MyBookie.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by. From the Gau Studios in Houston, you are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. So the lady is from Toronto that he's dating. So here's what I would do. I would either take her to the Maple Leaf Pub for poutine, or I would take her to Moxie's, which is a Toronto restaurant that's here in the Galleria.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that place.
Yeah, it's a good place. We've been a couple times. So do that. You'll impress her. All right. This guy always impresses. Co-host of The Bench, Lance Zierlein, joins us. What's going on, Lance? What's going on, Lance? Do we push the button wrong? Or Tyler, is this on you? This is on Tyler.
No, that's on Lance. I locked him in.
I see Lance right there.
Yeah.
And he's allegedly here, but then he's not.
Let me call him back. He may have dropped.
Mm-hmm. You were doing pretty well, too. He made it through half the show. Was feeling pretty good about your performance.
So when he says he blames it on Lance, you're not buying that?
No.
Okay.
No, because unless something's wrong with the phones, which could always be the case. There's a lot of times there's something wrong with the phones around here.
Everything around here.
All right. He's on there now? After I gave him such a great intro now.
You're substantially less impressive, Lance Zierlein.
What's happening, man?
Just the good folks of Tampa welcoming us down here. And I saw some Aggies. I saw a couple Longhorns today in practice at the East-West Shrine game. And all four of them acquitted themselves well. Daylon Mack, Sutherland, I think his name is, the guard. Chris Nelson, a tackle out of Texas. And then Andrew Beck, the fullback tight end out of Texas. So talked to Brian Game very briefly. I was kind of in his way while he was trying to watch offensive line drills. And I said, excuse me, Brian, let me move out of the way. You need to be watching this. I actually did tell him that.
So how many of these guys at this game are going to be legitimate pro prospects, in your opinion?
You mean potentially draftable?
Yes.
I mean, I'd say maybe half. Maybe half. There's going to be somebody from this game who ends up in the first three rounds. And who's like, I don't know who that is yet, and I'll keep watching, but it always happens like that where somebody in this draft or somebody in this game ends up being way better than this game. And then there are going to be a lot of guys. Like, there's some Canadian. There's always a couple of Canadian guys. And actually, these Canadian guys have – you know, I remember watching Brandon Brooks at the East-West Shrine game, and, you know, he's turned into a really, really good player. Texans drafted him, obviously, in the third round. They bring these Canadian guys, but Akeem Hicks – came from a Canadian school, and he's a really good pro right now. There's been a number of guys from Canada that they, you know, if you're really good in Canada, they'll bring you to this game. So there's always one or two Canadian guys, too, which is interesting. But saw Mike Mayock, who is obviously general manager of the Raiders now, but I think he's got a house down here in Tampa as well. That's, you know, he's buddy-buddy with Gruden because I think he's got a place in Tampa, and so he'd go down to Gruden's strip center coaching, you know, little fired coaches of America strip center office that he has. And I think that's how they got to be buddies. And that's one of the reasons he's the new GM there. But it's interesting. Gain is one of the few general managers here at this. Kevin Colbert from the Pittsburgh Steelers is also here, but not a lot of GMs at this game.
So big news of the day is that Kyler Murray declaring for the draft, which obviously could be using for leverage against the A's to get more money. But what's your thoughts on him? And I think AJ said you said that you had a second round grade on him. Doesn't that usually get them into the first round these days with quarterbacks?
Yeah, because he's a quarterback. So it just so happens that I got a ride over to this drop off spot where my car is with somebody who is in contact with the program, who said Kyler Murray measures, they said he will measure 5'9" and 7'8", which I got to be honest with you is taller than I would have expected. I didn't think that he was going to check in right at about 5'10". There's never a chance he was going to be 6 foot or even 5'11". But to hear that he's almost 5'10" that's almost good. Like, I'm almost thinking, wow, that's good news for him. He's 5'9" and 7'8". That's great news. Never in history have I ever said that about a quarterback, but I feel like that's the case with Kyler Murray. And I talked about this before. You know, the conventional wisdom is you don't take a quarterback that small, period. They'll get broken in half. But how many big hits did you guys watch college football. How many big hits did you see him take this year? I mean, you don't see him take big hits. It just doesn't happen. And there is some similarities to the way he moves with Russell Wilson. They both are baseball players. They both know how to avoid big contact. And I think that because you can already see somebody else who's succeeded, who's undersized, and who has some of the same appearances in terms of how they play, that's why I think teams are going to buy in. And this is not a conventional, it's not a conventional move, but hiring Cliff Kingsbury to be the head coach of an NFL team after getting fired from Texas Tech is the least conventional thing I've ever heard of. So that's, you know, we're in a different time now in the NFL, a different time. And I think Kyler Murray, with good workouts, could push himself in the first round. And, you know, John and I this morning looked at what Deshaun Watson got at pick number 12. Pick number 12 is about if you don't get to the additional year, the fifth-year option, you're still going to make with cash and signing bonus, I think it's around $13 million total. And Kyler Murray, if he were to be put on the 40-man roster, I guess, could make in the neighborhood of about $15 million potentially with the Oakland A's. So, you know, I think an interesting move would be leverage, like you just kind of hinted at, Fred, leverage the A's into putting you on that roster, taking that money, seeing how it goes, and then going and getting the NFL money a couple years later because, frankly, you know, he's still going to be appealing to teams in a couple years. Now, my guess is he just loves football more than baseball. And I think he's going to end up cashing out on baseball, skipping out and taking his chances with the pros. That's what I think is going to happen. And we'll see. We'll play it from there.
Daniel on Twitter wants to make sure you're being careful around the sidewalks with the Senior Bowl that you fell last year.
Yeah,
right?
It's Mobile that has the dangerous sidewalks. Here, I got to watch out more for meth. Right here, it's much more dangerous. The meth addicts are more dangerous in this particular area than the sidewalk.
Well, it is Florida. I mean, what
are you staying in a Super 8?
That's what I'm saying. As soon as I set foot in here, I'm like, I know what I'm getting into.
Well, are you staying in like a Super 8 where you've got to walk from your, like, you can't, there's no lobby to the hotel? You have outside
you
entry?
It's interesting you ask. I'm actually in a courtyard by Marriott, and about a quarter of a mile as I walked down to a Starbucks this morning, Flophouse.
Yeah,
and they're all standing outside, sitting out there smoking cigarettes, and I'm like, oh, man, I got to run the gauntlet here. And I had my headphones on. I faked a quick phone call, walked right past, no hassle, double-faked the phone call when I was coming back with my iced coffee just because I didn't feel like getting the hassle. It makes me maybe a bad person, but that's all right.
Who cares about that?
Yeah, as long as you're alive, that's what we're interested in.
Yeah,
you have that tattoo that says, only God can judge me, so it doesn't really even matter.
Yeah, I know. You know, this morning my time, it was 7:15 my time, so 6:15 your time. There's a guy walking the streets barefoot. It's about 59 degrees outside, and he's looking around on the ground. And it's that look. It's a barefoot, like, beach bum kind of looking for a cigarette. I know the look. It's guy scrounging for any kind of, you know, somebody who put a cigarette out a step early where he can hit a drag or needles. Like, I don't know. He's looking for one of the, or maybe coins, maybe loose coins, but I felt like I needed to hang back from that guy because he had a little edge to him.
Probably a good call.
Yeah, I think so.
So your thoughts on the early thoughts on the matchups next weekend?
Well, I'm pretty excited about the matchups. We've had a chance to see both games already this year, and they were both great games. I don't know about you guys. Something just feels like it's the Rams have kind of gotten their second wind, and I feel like the Rams are going to be the team. I know they're going into New Orleans, but I'm just feeling Rams in this one, and I also feel like Kansas City in a running back game against the Pats at home in cold weather. I just think this is going to be Kansas City's game. Kansas City has just got too much firepower. Like, their tight end's better than Gronk. Tyreek Hill is better than Edelman. Everything right now, Mahomes is better than Brady. And now Brady could step up. But the only thing that, you know, the Pats might have over him might be defense. And the Pats' defense isn't that good. So I think it's going to be Andy Reid versus McVay. And I think even if it's the other way around, the evil empire goes back to the Super Bowl. It gives people a team to cheer against. But I'm done with the Patriots. I mean, somebody else has got to step up.
But when you watch that game against the Chargers, and a lot of people thought the Chargers were a live dog.
Yeah.
I mean, they were out of that game early on. And the Patriots, I mean, that game could have been 60-10. I mean, the Patriots peeled back in the second half, but it was pretty clear that playoff Patriots are nothing to be trifled with. And I think sometimes people forget, no matter what the regular season looks like, you can't count this team out.
No, I brought it up on the radio. I mean, it's a lot like watching the Spurs a few years back where you realize they could hit the switch in the postseason. And it's a rare quality to be able to hit the switch. I know a lot of people like to think that their team can hit the switch and maybe a team believes it can. The Patriots apparently can. So I would agree with you. This is a very dangerous spot. I don't know if the guys surrounding Tom Brady are ready to step up big enough to get in another shootout and beat Kansas City in a shootout. Because I think, I don't care if it's 10 or 12 degrees, I still think it's going to be tough to win. And, but this game might be won by the running backs. You know, if the Patriots win, I know we're thinking it's going to be Brady, but Sony Michel is a big wild card. He and James White, the ability to bang it or to catch the ball out of the backfield with short control passing, that's a really big deal. So, you know, I think James White, Tyreek Hill, those are the two really big names to keep your eyes on. And Sony Michel also, if the Patriots go to ball control, eat the clock up, keep Mahomes off the field, you know, offense.
I think what we've seen is the Patriots, and for the longest time, it's always been the way to beat Tom Brady is to get pressure up the middle. Like, if you try to send edge rushers, you're probably not going to beat him. If you get pressure up the middle on Tom Brady, you've got a chance because he's not allowed to step up. Well, what he's figured out is when there's pressure coming up the middle, he just dumps it out to James White and lets James White run crazy. And the Chiefs are a team, if they don't get pressure on Tom Brady, they can't win. The Chiefs aren't good enough defensively everywhere else to not have a pass rush. So I think they're gonna be coming hard, and I think James White may have another game where he just eats that defense up.
So you're liking New England in this?
I'm liking New England plus the points.
How many points is it?
It's three. They're both three. Both under. Well, I hit the Rams yesterday already at 3.5. Are they down to three now?
Yeah, they're at three.
Well, I like both those underdogs at three.
What do you think of the totals?
I haven't really paid much attention to that yet, but I picture the Chiefs game. I picture being a pretty high scoring affair. I don't know if the Saints offense.
I can't see the Chiefs line moving. I can't see that moving off of three.
I don't know if the Saints offense is what it was early in the season, and I'm scared to bet a Saints under, but that's been pretty consistent the last few weeks of the season.
Yeah, and one of the reasons is because they've gotten better defensively as the season's gone on, and they've gotten, I don't know, a little more stale offensively, for lack of a better term. So they needed some help to get to where they need. I mean, 20 points is no great shake, and they needed that. They needed that on that fake punt. We talked about it this morning about, you know, the controlled aggression of Andy Reid and Bill Belichick and Peyton. I think that's the one thing that irritates people about Bill O'Brien is they don't feel like they have a good feel for whether or not he, you know, when is he consistently aggressive? Does it make sense when he's aggressive or passive? I think that's what bothers some people sometimes.
All right.
Not passive, but conservative, you know. It's okay to be conservative from time to time, but you better have a defense that can back you up. And by the end of the year, he didn't have that.
All right, that's Lance Zierlein. You can catch him on the bench 7 to 9 every morning. And, Lance, try not to become part of a Florida man story while you're there.
I try that every day.
All right, that's Lance Zierlein. Thank you. We are going to take a quick break here. Come back. There's a lot of competition for Gym of the Day today.
Yeah.
I've had several people send me some really good ones, but the one I have might be the best, most Walmart story ever.
Excellent. So I love a good Walmart tale.
So do I. And from right here in Texas.
Good. I hope it's East Texas.
Well, you'll find out when we come back. That's a tease. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5, Sports Map 94.1.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
From the Gau Studios in Houston, you are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hey, guys, check out Sports Map. Lots of good stuff on there today. Tomorrow, Raheel has a story that will not go over well with Texans and Cowboys fans about coaches. That's all I'm going to say about it.
Okay. Somebody posted the... So, I don't know if you've been on Facebook lately, but there's a thing going on where people are posting a picture of their first profile picture and then their last one, seeing how they've aged over the 10 or whatever years people have been on Facebook.
Yeah. It's like from the start to, yeah, to now, yeah. Usually, most people are 10 years.
Someone posted a picture of the Texans trophy case in 2009 and then in 2019, and it was the exact same. Just an empty trophy case. I thought that was maybe a little bit harsh. But
yeah, fair. Fair.
Funny, though.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait. They've got those AFC South Division Champion trophies.
Does that come with a trophy?
I'm sure it, well, it comes with a banner. It's better than what the Colts hang a banner for every playoff win.
Stupid.
And they AFC only one, semifinalists.
There was only one flag. They didn't even get a second, a 2-0 flag.
No.
Oh, well. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler gem of the day.
And yes, those of you who sent me really good gems of the day that we didn't use today, I can always bring one of them back tomorrow unless they wind up in AJ's dumbass report. But this is my favorite one. Police in Wichita Falls, Texas, received a strange call on Friday. It involved a woman drinking wine in the parking lot of a Walmart.
Oh, big deal.
Except she was drinking it from a Pringles can.
Oh, big deal.
For several hours as she rode around in an electric cart. The incident reportedly began just after 9 a.m. She started drinking at 6:30.
Nice.
Pouring the wine into a Pringles can and then zipping around the parking lot on an electric cart. I mean, is that not as Walmart as it
gets? Pretty good.
Police were told the woman had been riding around the lot since 6:30 a.m. when they arrived.
Was she refilling her Pringles can?
Apparently so. Yeah, I don't know if she's
I want to know whether or not she just slid the bottle in there and she's using it as kind of a koozie, or if she was actually pouring wine into.
She was pouring wine into the can.
That'd have to be a skinny bottle of wine, wouldn't it, to fit in?
Yeah,
because
the Pringles
cans
doesn't. Yeah, they're pretty small.
I can't even fit my hand in a Pringles can.
Yeah, me either.
I hate that about Pringles. I really like Pringles chips.
But you have to dump them out.
I have to dump them out because my big fat hand won't fit in the stupid can.
Regardless, when officers arrived, they found her in a nearby restaurant and notified her that she had been banned from the Walmart.
Damn.
It is difficult to get banned from a Walmart.
Yeah, life's got to be going really bad if that's the case.
So next time you see a woman tooling around in a cart with a Pringles can at 6:30 in the morning in a Walmart parking lot, she's probably got wine.
Yeah.
With little bits of chip in it, I'm guessing. And that is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day. It's the gem of the day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
So the other thing coming on Sports Map tomorrow is I went and asked for Hall of Fame votes.
Oh, yeah.
And that will be posted tomorrow. I've got a couple people who are tardy. Well, I gave them until 8 a.m. tomorrow.
What are their names?
Well, Barry Laminack hasn't done it yet.
Okay.
Joel Blank hasn't done it yet. Those are two guys I'd like to have on there. John Granato just sent me his.
Okay.
Just now. So.
Hey, you know, I will also have my basketball report up. It's basically already written. I just need to wait on the Texas and Baylor games tonight. Texas plays Kansas tonight.
Yeah, that's a good matchup.
Yeah. Well,
I see you tweeted out under 137.
Yeah.
That's your play.
I bet Nebraska for the last time this year. If they screw me today, but I think they're actually up right now.
Oh, yeah.
But I think I'm like 0-5 betting Nebraska. So I'm struggling with them. And I tweeted out, this is the last chance they get from me. Hey, you know how I always talk about not wanting to go to foreign countries because.
Yeah.
You know, horrible things tend to happen in those places. Here's another reason. Vasilyevka, Russia. A 62-year-old woman, quote, came back from the dead in a morgue and was rushed to intensive care.
That sounds kind of cool.
Only to die again several hours later from hypothermia. The grandmother had been drinking with relatives at a party when she appeared to have passed away. A policeman then certified her as dead and took her body in a hearse to the morgue. However, she was still alive and started moving while a morgue worker tried to fit a tag to the foot of her corpse. The woman then came to life. The morgue worker immediately called an ambulance and paramedics spent 40 minutes trying to resuscitate the woman. It was found that she suffered from extreme cold in the morgue. Shocker. Those places are meant to keep you cold.
Right.
She was taken to the ICU unit, but later died the same day after suffering from hypothermia. Police have now launched an investigation into the death. Medics say if she had received prompt medical care instead of being taken to the morgue, she might have survived. You think? He certified the death on his own, called the undertakers, and sent the body to the morgue without accompanying documents. The police officer did not call for an ambulance as required by instructions. This is another reason I don't want to go anywhere. I don't think you'd hear that story in America.
Probably not.
Yeah, probably right? But I mean, even in like in Florida, stuff like that doesn't even happen.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, but there's like bath salt zombies in Florida.
Yeah, they'll eat your face off. Yeah.
It's true, but like at least when they don't like announce that you're dead when you're not dead and then make you die because they stick you in a freezer.
I'm sure that's happened in America before.
Probably so. I don't like it, though.
All right. Well, guys, I have to tell you about Innovative Lasers of Houston. And the one thing I had been really struggling with was getting weight off my belly. Everything else was I was doing great, but I just couldn't. And it didn't matter how many times I was going to the gym. Didn't matter how hard I was working out. Didn't matter that I was dieting. It just didn't work. And I tried Innovative Lasers, and guess what? 6 inches off. Just like that. And you can lose up to 3 to 11 inches in 2 weeks. All you have to do is be among the first 100 to call 281-888-3094. Mention ESPN and you'll get 50% off regular price and 3 sessions free. Take advantage of this special offer and lose inches and fat without any painful procedures or downtime. It's easy. You basically just lay there for 20 minutes and you get up, you feel great. You get more energy, change your life. Call Innovative Lasers of Houston, 281-888-3094 and mention ESPN 97.5 to get 50% off the regular price and 3 sessions free. It's a special offer and it's only available for ESPN 97.5 listeners. For more information, log on to InnovativeLasersOfHouston.com.
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.